You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
Welcome to the Crypto and Blockchain Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Guten Tag.
Hallo.
Hola.
Shalom.
Hallo.
Namaste.
Ni hao.
Vivet.
Hello.
Salut.
Yassas.
Salve.
Ciao.
Bonjour.
Our podcast talks about the latest trends in the worlds of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast. Now, we have been very clever in the way that we have titled this week's podcast because it's called Crypto is Going Country. Yeehaw! What that really means is that countries are starting to embrace cryptocurrencies. And there has been a lot of examples out there in the news as of late about countries who are basically doing more than just allowing cryptocurrencies to gain a foothold and allow people to not only start using them in everyday purchases, but there are countries who are actually themselves looking at issuing cryptocurrencies on a national level. I wanted to first start off this podcast talking about the Petro. And I know the number one question on your mind is, what is the Petro? Early this year, 2018, the South American country of Venezuela became the first country to declare a cryptocurrency as their primary currency. Now, just to be clear on something, Japan has acknowledged Bitcoin for quite some time as a legal currency, but the yen is still their primary currency. The former primary currency of Venezuela, or the Bolivar, is under record-setting inflation, to the point that people were paying for things with trash bags full of money. And when they were paying for goods and services, they were being judged by the weight of the currency and not even the values that were on the currency. So can you imagine bringing a trash bag to the supermarket and they weighed it, and that's how they judged how you were paying for your goods? So there were people who were crafting handbags out of the worthless banknotes for a living, which I think is also quite a novel idea of what to do with a currency which is no longer of any value. Starving, destitute citizens had turned to Bitcoin mining to make a living, and at first the government outlawed the practice. But as this situation worsened, they realized that this actually might be the one thing to infuse money back into their broken economy. It was at this point that the government decided to launch their ICO, and they pre-mined the entire 2.7 billion coins itself, and then sold a large stake of it to private investors, many of which included foreign governments themselves. China is one of the 133 countries that expressed their intention to invest in the Petro, which received 200,927 offers of purchase intention for an initial amount of $5,025,181,787.54. And that is in U.S. dollars. So the name Petro is significant because each Petro coin is backed by Venezuela's massive oil reserves, which is said to equal around 5 billion barrels. Each coin is said to be worth the price of a barrel of oil, which is currently around 60 U.S. dollars. The government itself is now preparing to set up 9,000 crypto mining machines. On February 20th of this year, 2018, the Venezuelan government released the first public offering for Petro coins. However, just 38.4 million coins were made available to the public to purchase. Furthermore, it's not found on any currency exchanges, but once hosted within the country. The white paper for the Petro ICO suggests that this is an ERC-20 token, but other reports say it's running on the NEM blockchain. It remains a massive struggle for citizens in Venezuela, and it is not clear whether this move into the crypto world will be enough to rescue their failed economy. Amidst cries of scam and worthless from Western-based analysts and politicians throughout the world, there is still hope that not all is lost. It is not only in Venezuela, though, that national cryptocurrencies are being looked at as possibly being a salvation of some sorts to the economy. There are several countries, both rich and poor, who are excited to participate in the cryptocurrency revolution. Let's have a look at some of these countries a little bit more in depth. The first is Tunisia. And in 2015, which already seems like an eternity ago, Tunisia used blockchain technology to create the e-dinar, a digital version of their current money. You can use this coin to pay bills and make money transfers. The blockchain is also used to manage identification documents. In Senegal, the government collaborated with local banks to produce its own coin, the CFA franc. It is tied to the fiat currency of the nation, yet also compatible with neighboring currencies. This is a fantastic way of stabilizing purchasing power of not just a country, but an entire region. In Sweden, the Central Bank of Sweden, Riksbank, is working on the creation of the e-krona. However, when the public was surveyed about the project, it received only 10% support from its citizens. The majority of the people had heard of Bitcoin, but only 2% had used it. Meanwhile, in Estonia, well, this is a different story. Estonia is extremely blockchain friendly and using this technology in many levels of government. For example, the entire healthcare system is on the blockchain. The release of their Estcoin seems to be on the horizon, but as a member of the European Union, Estonia is legally obligated to use the euro as its national currency and needs to decide how they're going to assign a value to the Estcoin. That's if it decides to move forward. Now, China, as we're all aware, is right now having a little bit of... When we talk about China, they have always seemed, at least from an outsider's perspective, to have a love-hate relationship with cryptocurrency. As you are aware, last year, at the end of 2017, they banned ICOs. And they are currently exploring options to not only create a digital currency, but eliminate their paper currency altogether. And this has been ongoing for several years with no official plans yet in place. This may explain the ban on Bitcoin a little more clearly, as they do not want the market to decide the plan for them. Turning now towards Russia, Russia has been considering a new national currency called the crypto ruble. This has been rumored since 2015, but it looks like it may actually come to life around 2019. Vladimir Putin has been quoted as saying it is a project that will help circumvent Western sanctions and bring additional cash flow into their country. Currently, Switzerland is looking into creating their state-backed e-franc. The Swiss government is commissioning their reports currently on the risks and opportunities which would be associated with launching their own cryptocurrency in the future. And for those of you out there who are unaware of how the currency situation is set up in Europe, Switzerland is one of those European countries who do not use the euro and instead still use their own Swiss franc. Japan has always had a very holistic view of cryptocurrencies, and the J-coin is scheduled to launch in 2020, which is valued at 1-to-1 with the yen. The project is spearheaded by a consortium of Japanese banks rather than the government, which is again quite a promising sign. Japan already recognizes Bitcoin as legal currency, and many stores within Japan accept it. Israel has always looked into the possibility of launching their own digital currency and calling it the digital shekel. It's a project being mulled over by both the government and the Bank of Israel. Until they figure out how to put this technology to use, no decisions will be made to move forward, but it does seem inevitable, as they do believe it will help prevent tax evasion if every transaction is done on a mobile phone wallet. It just appears to be a question of when and not if. Meanwhile, in Dubai, Mcash is a government-blocked blockchain-based currency which is being created by Mcredit and Object Tech, which will serve the residents of the UAE. Object Tech has also been contracted to create blockchain-based digital passports for UAE citizens as well. Again, very promising uses of the blockchain and cryptocurrency. As we move to Kyrgyzstan, they have a plan for a currency backed by their gold reserves called Golden Rock, and this is currently under development. The government hopes to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 million from their token sale. The funds raised will be used for their investments in agriculture. Now, this was just a quick roundup of many countries who are starting to really embrace cryptocurrency and what it can do, not just from a government's perspective, but from the citizen's perspective. There are many other coins in existence which are tethered to just national pride more than official government issuance or recognition, such as the maple coin in Canada, the Irish coin in Ireland, etc. Now, you have to remember, before you ever invest in anything, you have to do plenty of research. For instance, do not confuse petrodollar with the petro. There is a lot of information that you need to absorb before you go and invest your hard-earned money into any of these cryptocurrency projects and ICOs. So please do your homework and your due diligence before you invest in anything. Currency is a major form of economic control and stability. So while it may already seem like an already saturated marketplace is only going to get worse, everyone will not agree to use Bitcoin as the worldwide currency anytime soon. There will not be a worldwide consensus on using Bitcoin, is what I'm trying to say. That there may be very, very different attitudes and viewpoints by many countries on how they want to support their national currency instead of maybe another coin that is out there. As countries evolve in terms of their currencies, this may lead to future dialogues about backing standards, what digital currencies actually represent, and this might actually create a more stable global economy. There is no telling if the distribution of digital wealth will change the ratios along with it, or how this will eventually affect poverty. There are many issues that world leaders have to face when deciding on what to do with this emerging technology. So things are getting very interesting within the cryptocurrency space, and I invite you all to become very alert to what is happening out there and stay tuned, because it's all getting, like I said, very interesting. In closing, I would also like to wish a very happy birthday to Bitcoin, because it was at this date, May 22nd, 8 years ago, that the very first real-world Bitcoin transaction happened. And that was when Laszlo Hanyecz bought two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin, which in today's value is approximately, hold on to your hats, folks, $75 million. That is approximately what this man paid for his two pizzas at this time 8 years ago. Wow. I think that qualifies as being the most expensive food delivery ever. Thank you again for joining us for this week's edition of Crypto and Blockchain Talk. Please follow us on Twitter and Facebook and subscribe to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Spotify. And we have some more exciting news for you. We are now available on the Podbean podcast app, which can be downloaded on App Store and on Google Play. We love having you as our listener, and if you have any suggestions on what you would like to hear in a podcast, whether it be for educational or newsworthy items that you want explained, please feel free to email us at education@savvydigital.com. That is education@savvydigital.com. We'd be happy to look at your suggestions, and we would love to help educate you on these topics. Have a really great day and a wonderful weekend. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.